On the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for woo. Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
Now up, cuts across the key twice. Now he'll shoot a long three, and he'll hit it. No, Rabatham with a huge shot there has given the Rebels a six-point lead, under two to go.
No hesitation.
Thank you, Jared. And that was the three that kind of put the nail in the coffin, gave the Rebels a six-point lead. Inside of 90 seconds to go last night, Noah Rabatham capping off as good a night as a runner Rebel point guard has had in a very, very long time, and leading the Rebels to the victory on the road at Boise last night by a final score. If I can get that final score, 83-72. Great job by the runner Rebels getting the win, their sixth conference win of the year, as they now get ready to return home for two, Fresno State on Saturday afternoon and Air Force on next Tuesday. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you. A little bit tired. Got home late last night, but we'll get home. We'll get home as late as you want, as long as it's after a road win. And that was really terrific. And joined by, he said he was relieved last night. I hope he's relieved and happy now. Head coach Marvin Menzies.
I started looking at Fresno State.
So.
Oh man, it never ends.
He just wrecked it.
Never ends.
The happy didn't get a chance to kick in. But no, it was obviously it was a great win for the guys. I was really happy for the players. Just going through adversity like that is always opportunity for growth and opportunity to see what you're about. You know, when you're really challenged, and to take those three tough losses and then go get a big road game victory against a team that, you know, is in the middle of the pack like ourselves, but also a team that we really have struggled there in recent years to be victorious at Boise State. That Taco Bell has just not been very good to the Rebels. So it was, there was a lot of asterisks that made it even more successful a victory than what may appear on paper.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the game, but just across the board, I again admire the toughness that this team exhibited. Struggling defensively in the first half. We talked about it briefly. We're going to talk about it more now, about the adjustments made at halftime and the adjustments the guys made right at halftime, and then coming out and just controlling the game for the most part in the second right half, and being able to withstand the run that Boise made at you kind of midway, two-thirds of the way through the second half, and come back and take the game away from them again.
Yeah, you know, our team has shown, like most teams, you show good moments, bad moments, strengths, vulnerabilities. They rear their ugly head sometimes when at the worst time. But when you're able to have some consistency throughout a game, I think it really builds confidence, you know. And I think it also kind of breeds what a winning program is about, because now we took that victory and how we were able to achieve it, which was, I mean, we had good offense, there's no question, but we had really good defensive toughness in the second half. And so we were able to carry that over as a staff into practice today. So, you know, it's a tough life as a student athlete. Man. I mean, they got a, you know, long flight, tough flight. They had to get up, and I think we landed at what time did we get back? One? Or
about one.
I got to the house at one.
You got to the house at one. So they probably got to bed about one.
Yeah.
Had 8 o'clock classes. And then we practiced right after that.
Man, I'm so glad I'm out of school.
If you didn't hear that, Robert said, I'm so glad I'm done with school. But it's a grind, you know. But we were, as a staff, you know, and I've got a phenomenal staff. One of my staff members, Eric Brown, is here today. He's predominantly offense, but also we divide all our scouts up. And Eric had the Boise State scout last night. So he'll be up to visit with you guys in a little bit. But, you know, when we talked about practice today, we were like, because, you know, we're as old guys, we're sitting up there going, I'm tired. I know they beat up, man. And so we're like, well, what do we do? And then the staff is like, Coach, we got to championship program, championship mentality. We got to power through. We got to get on the floor. We got to get taped up, you know, because I was thinking maybe we walk through today.
Right.
You know what? No. You know what? Nuh-uh. We're not going to go long, but we're going to go strong. And that was the theme of the staff. And I was so glad we did it because the guys, you know, remember early in the year we always talked about we're good character kids, we're quality people. You're going to get as much as you demand.
That's right.
So if you don't push them hard, you're not going to get you're hardly going to get results.
That's right.
That's what we did today, and I was pleased that we did it. We didn't go long, but I thought we made some progress and on the heels of the game, we're able to go look at our cleanup film on both sides of the ball. And offensively and defensively, and then go right onto the court, put in some quality work. Again, not for an extended amount of time because we play at 2 o'clock on Saturday, but enough for them to feel like they took another step, even just from less than 24 hours before.
Right.
It was from an offensive standpoint, again, especially in the second half. And I really do think we've talked about it numerous times. That success on one side of the court is going to lead to success on the other side for the most part. And you could just tell that the energy and the effort that the Rebels showed in the second half on the defensive end led to crisper execution and better looks. You know, the sequence where the Rebels made 7 passes and wound up with a wide open look for Amari for a 3.
Right.
That, I mean, against the zone, it was textbook.
Right.
And it's great to see that.
Well, and again, like you just mentioned, a lot of that begins with your point guard is at the top of the hour. You're talking about Noah, and I think the lessons that the staff is really drilling these guys. Coach Brown came up with a stat that I thought was – I hadn't really ever seen it before. I don't think – he's probably used it before, but I don't remember seeing us use it here in recent months for sure. Maybe we did it, you know, in the first year or something. But and it was the number of passes, and I'll let him elaborate on it, but it was something that the players really looked at because it's glaring. When you do this is the result. Mm-hmm. When you do this, this is the result. And so it's just black and white. And everybody understands the truth, you know, and that's what he presented and did it in a very creative way that I think they embraced, and I think it carried over onto the floor.
Two things that I liked last night in the game. Yeah, we started out slowly on defense, but once we picked it up and in the second half you start seeing them getting stops, you know, on situations where they were getting burned in the first half.
Right.
So, you know, we saw that makeup, but on the offensive end, I thought they were very unselfish last night, especially in situations with the clock running down, guys getting to the basket. Usually, you know, a guy would just throw it
up. Force that shot.
Yeah, but they made that extra pass. And you know, it's always been said, you know, make the extra pass to get an easier shot.
Right.
And you saw that all night in the second half.
Yeah, you talk about that hockey assist, you know.
Yep.
That was what – we had a lot of those last night. And we explained to them, you know, that's good basketball.
Right.
I got and no kidding, I had at least 8, maybe a couple more Division I coaches who are friends, and you know, we're in the business, and when we're off, we watch each other play and so forth. That text me after the game and talked about our offensive execution how Coach Fisher called me and you know, former head coach at San Diego State and say, by far our best game of sharing the ball and looking for others and playing for teammates. And so I shared the text. I read the text to some of the text to the players today in the film session. I said, now, when you have coaches from other universities calling you to compliment you on your team's play, you know you did something right, and it was good basketball.
Right.
So that was special. Thank you. a little cheer for that one. But
one other question, too.
Yeah.
I want to know who fell asleep in the film room today.
So one
besides
one guy,
the coach,
one guy did, and I don't know if I should throw him under the bus or not, Shakur. But
he wasn't even on the trip.
Hey.
Nah, you know what? I won't say who it was, Shakur, because
he's old. He's older, recuperating.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't think we should pinpoint Shakur because you know the guy is you know, he's got a lot of class.
Yeah.
And he's got some things going on, Shakur. But you know, it is what it is.
How many coaches?
Well, Atsic coaches were pretty good. I think they were still wired up.
From last night.
Andre and Eric and Preston were on the phone we got home at 1. I probably went to bed about 2:30 because you're just kind of wired up.
Yeah.
They were on the phone at 3:30, and we were all at work at 8.
And they didn't fall asleep in film.
No, man. They did the film. They were the ones that put the film together, so they couldn't.
Coach Brown's sitting right in front of us. He's going to come up later. He's going to fall asleep during
the show. He might fall asleep up here.
Yeah,
we'll be asking him questions. He's nodding out.
Just turn up the volume in his speaker, in his headphones. He'll be fine.
How big a difference, and I know he's still kind of getting his rhythm back, et cetera, but how big a difference is it having Mbaké on the floor on either end?
It helps a little bit.
Okay. Hey, I saw at least four situations where he changed things.
Yeah.
At least four.
You know, when you think about Keita at Utah State and how much he affects shots.
Right.
Mbaké obviously wasn't full strength when we played them, but he has that ability, number one. Number two, you know, for him to be so agile at his height and with his length to be able to sit down and if we switch or do some things and defensively, scout-wise, you know, you can't coach that. Some of that just has to be innate in their ability to move.
And he's more athletic than the kid from Utah State.
You know, he may not be
as big, but
yeah, that kid's longer and bigger, but he is definitely a better athlete.
Is there a concern, and we've talked about it a little bit before, but is there a concern? I mean, Mbaké, the one thing he needs to learn how to do is guard those bigger guys. I mean, one of the things he has to do, you know, guys who are, you know, the shoulders
more
on that Keita kid.
More physical.
I mean, they're incredible, and he's still growing. Can he put on weight, or does he have to learn that from a technique standpoint?
No, some of it's technique, but, you know, you can be wiry strong. You know, there's a lot of guys that in the league, you know, Rodman wasn't a big.
Capella.
Yep. Durant, you know, he's not a.
Exactly.
He's not
but
a,
he's wiry strong.
Wiry strong, you know. And so he'll get as big as his body will allow him to get from a muscle standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But what you develop is who you are.
Yeah.
So if he's, which he is, a great motor he has, he's a great athlete. So those are the things that will be, you know, he'll be drafted for or looked at for will be his strengths.
Yeah.
And so you just got to keep building on your strengths and obviously try to work on those weaknesses.
And with a guy like him, if you get him too bulked up.
Yeah.
His
could take away.
It could take away some of those
We've
things.
Seen that in the past with guys on the UNLV basketball team. Not necessarily big men, but guards who have thought they've got to get bigger and stronger, and it's affected their quickness.
Yep.
Right.
We'll get to Noah because obviously we'll spend some time talking about Noah. Amari Hardy had a very interesting game last night.
Coach Brown's falling asleep now.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
You better hurry up.
Okay.
He's over there yawning.
Can somebody get a large coffee down to Coach Brown?
Get him some no-dos.
But I thought Amari Hardy had a really interesting game, and I thought at the end of the game, some of the way the coaches came up to him and really gave him kudos for kind of turning his game around.
Bounce back.
Yeah.
Bounce back. It was a microcosm of the season at some points. You know, you look at all our L's, and you look at them as lessons. And we talked about this today in film. Okay, what did we learn from, you know, Bucknell, right? Okay, let's talk about that. What did we learn from Air Force? And then we got on a little bit run. Well, we had three L's, three lessons in a row. What did we learn? And so we talked about those. And, you know, the theme of getting off to a good start and some different things that came up and trying to process through that. But you also have, you know, lessons throughout the duration of one game. And Amari at halftime, I said, hey, you know, I think we talked about this in postgame.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, he had – how many turnovers did he have at half? Three?
He had three in the first half.
Yep.
And he was wearing the weight of the world on his shoulders. Like, you know, he just was – his body language and his engagement was so bad. And I said, Amari, the team has four. That's all the team has. That's not. That's pretty good. Oh, forget that you have three because the team was in good shape. So we are in good shape, and you being a part of the team, you're still in good shape.
Yeah.
You just got to come back out and play, you know, your normal basketball going forward. And he did. He was very, very engaged defensively. He made shots. He shared the ball. He took care of business. I don't know what he ended up. Did he end up with another turnover?
No, he just had those three.
So he had those three in the first half early and bounced back.
Yeah.
And I saw one time you pulled him out. And like you said, you could see he was intense, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just, you know, relaxing, playing through it. But, and that happens, you know, you get one turnover, another one. Now you kind of freaking out. But I think that time you pulled them out kind of, you know, settled them down
a
little bit. Yeah,
just went over and talked to them real quick. Yeah. And then where assistants do a good job of that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys will go over and pull those guys aside. If you ever see me put a player in my chair, that's why I got Andre there and I got Eric there.
Is that the psychological chair?
They know exactly what to say. They've been doing this long enough, and I just kind of stand up for a little while, even though my knee may be hurting or something. You guys done talking to him yet? I'm racing around. But no, it ends up being a you know, not a hot seat, but an educational seat,
right,
when they sit in that chair when they come out.
Yeah. And we should explain. I mean, Amari, he's not doing things to be selfish. He's mm-hmm. doing things because he wants to contribute and he wants things to go well, and he's a confident kid.
Yeah, the passes were to his teammates. The turnovers were passes to his teammates, whether him dribbling off his leg or trying to take a, some kind of errant shot or something.
I thought Bryce Hamilton got some valuable minutes last night.
Yeah, he played within himself, and we've been talking and emphasizing between him and he and Trey that they just got to give us a little bit better defensive focus, energy, and emphasis when they get on the floor, mm-hmm. and don't feel like they need to come in and score to help us. Let the scoring come to them naturally.
Yeah.
Trey he played well. And I probably should have played him a little bit more. I think I was too quick on the hook on him. I told him that today because he didn't do one thing, and I just kind of hooked him because it was
– kind of want to win the game.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was – I didn't think he was ready based on the one thing that
the situation
we had been emphasizing for 2 days.
Right.
And so when he didn't do that thing, I said, he's not ready. So I got him out. So I anticipated him getting back and talking to him, but those other guys got in the flow, and, you know, we just coached the game to win the game. We don't coach the game to – you know,
minutes.
Yeah, it's not middle school. Everybody's got to play in the first half.
The participation trophy. Yeah, I mean, look, and Trey's a freshman. Trey's a kid who probably didn't play a ton of defense in high school. Mm-hmm. He's learning. And when he gets in the game, it's not like the other coach is going, gee, who's that? We've never scouted him.
Right.
They know. He hasn't played a lot. He didn't play a lot. And they gave the ball to Hobbs.
Yeah,
they said, go.
Yeah.
And they ISO'd him.
And when they did that, he should have had some help from one of his teammates that he didn't. So he was kind of on an island. And I told him that. I said, you know what, I probably could have got you back in, but all's well that ends well. But just, you know, every game's, you know, stands on its own merits. And, you know, Joel didn't get back in and much. I think he fouled in the second half early, and he didn't get back in.
Exactly.
So, you know, who cares? We won the game. I don't care who plays.
You know what's funny? We're
Is that mean?
No. We're on the bus, and everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's tired, late game, and we want to get home. And Nick Blair gets on the bus, and one of the assistants, as Nick walks by, says, "Okay, you can go back to being an old man now."
big minutes by Nick.
Oh
yeah,
wow!
Yeah, he was another one that, you know, the coaching. Let me digress here for a minute. The coaching strategy when you're trying to win games, you have to evaluate your guys on who's ready to play, who's giving you what you need at that moment of the game, matchups. I mean, there's so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can be too quick on a deal. Sometimes you can leave a guy on too long. And then there's other guys that you watch and you go, okay, well, he's giving me what I need for him to give me, so I'm just going to watch until he gets fatigued. But Nick goes at a pace sometimes where you go, hey, still looks good to me. You know, he looks like he can go for about four more games straight.
Da-da,
you know?
Da-da.
But he's hit the right spot. He makes the right decision. You know, and so he's that's why we say he's got that old
that
man
old
game.
Man,
but you watch him under the basket. He's got every trick in the book. He knows how to use his body to get position. And when it calls, when it's called for him to explode and get off the floor to go get a rebound, he does it.
No, he's got great athleticism.
How about the couple of threes when he walks? I mean, he came in, he passed up a couple of shots, but he's, you know, a couple of times he said, "Well, if you don't come out on me,
I will shoot it."
Did you hear what Robert said when he walked out there?
Wait, how many times you see Nick sprinting?
You know what, Nick? You told me about his game. I don't know if you remember, Robert, but we were talking before. you know, we got into the season.
Uh-huh.
And I said, tell me about him. And you said, Marv, I'm telling you, he's just solid. He's just solid. That was a word you used, and that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, because, you know, I've seen him so much, you know, when he was younger, and he wasn't the tallest kid, you know, playing AAU, but he was more athletic than a lot of guys. And,
right.
And he just, I mean, he never did things. He did what he could do. He never go out of his game and try to do other things.
You know, he knew his limitations.
That's right. That's
right. He did that. Did Nick, you know.
Yeah, he certainly did. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. Are we getting Coach Brown next?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to Coach about Noah Rabada.
We better go to Coach Brown next.
Yeah, before it's na-na time. But
he'll be snoring.
We will bring him up and we'll talk about the game and the game plan. But we'll focus on Noah because that was a spectacular performance by the Runner Rebel point guard. Fans, remember the 2019 Nissan Rogue. It's one solid defender. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick. Inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Runner Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Turns the other way, puts it off the glass. Good defense by Abake, and the rebound grabbed by Hamilton. Hardy to Blair. Blair shoots a three, knocks it down, and it's 23-19, and Boise State calls a timeout. Runner Rebels getting hot in the first half last night, cutting into the Boise State lead, and then took the lead early in the second half, and never looked back, controlled the game, withstood one big Boise State run, and really just controlled things and on their way to an 83-72 victory to pick up their sixth win in 10 conference games. Getting ready for Fresno State, a very good and experienced Fresno State team here at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon. Remember, that's a 2 o'clock in the afternoon tip. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you. Now welcoming in Eric Brown, assistant coach Eric Brown, who had the scout last night and who handles a lot of the offensive chores for the Runner Rebel coaching staff. Absolutely, give him a big hand. Coach Brown, who got a really good night's sleep and was able to just lounge around the house today.
That's how these days in February go, right?
Wow, that's right.
Rough one, but as I said, I'm sure you'll feel the same way. You'll put up with whatever inconvenience it is to get that road W.
This is the best time of year. You know, you put in all the work and you get wins in February. I hope it leads to March, but this is the best time of year in college basketball.
This Runner Rebel team, and you've been with Marv and part of the process of building this program, which is obviously still ongoing and very much in its early stages, considering the hand you were dealt to start things. But the kids you have now, how excited are you for the rest of this year, but for the summer working out with these kids and for the future?
We're really excited. You know, we get excited to go to work every day because we've got a great group of guys who are extremely talented, but they're good kids. And Coach Menzies had a blueprint when we got here of the kind of student athletes we want to represent our program, not just on the floor, but in the classroom and in the community. And they're great kids, and obviously they're very talented, and there's a big learning process going on with those guys right now. But they're coachable. They work hard. They like each other.
Right.
You know, it's a fun group to be around.
The Rebels did such a great job sharing the basketball last night and moving the ball. And there have been times, I know against Utah State, it was driving you nuts because in practice and shoot around, all you talked about was moving the ball, and it didn't happen. Last night, they did it, and obviously turned out great. What causes that?
You know, we talked to our guys about, you know, doing things, whether it's on offense or defense, and doing it with some consistency and sustaining it. And there were times in the Utah State game where they did it, and there's times in the San Diego State game where they did it, and there's times in the Reno game where they did it. But our emphasis after the Utah State game was, you know, we need to sustain it and do it longer. Do it for 40 minutes.
Right.
Don't do it for 20 minutes. Don't do it for a half. And I think you saw them doing it last night for a longer stretch than they've done it, you know, pretty much all season.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's contagious, you know, and it's fun, and our guys are getting a rhythm. I think with Amari and Noah in together, you've got two point guards out there who's decision making. You know, I think both those guys are almost 4-1 assist to turnover ratio right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a good chemistry, a good synergy on the floor right now.
But you know, the one thing I saw in the Utah State game, and you know, we have to look back and say these are young kids. So sometimes you get caught up in the game and you kind of forget about all the things that you did during the week for the game. And you know, I don't know if it's I don't think it's a selfish thing. I think they just get so caught up. It's like, okay, we just got scored on. We got to go get it back instead of saying, let's be patient, run through our things, see what we get. And that's what I saw last night was, you know, everybody's like, hey, don't rush. You know, maybe a couple of times last night. But as a whole, I think everybody just said, hey, let's just move the ball, see what we get out of it. And the more you guys move the ball, the more guys we got open.
And that's what we try to emphasize. We just try to emphasize make the right play. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, take the right shot. But if you make the right play, you make the right
decision. That's right.
You make the easy pass, and then the rest of it will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've gotten to a point where we start tracking passes and how many times we've made 0-1 passes or 2-4 passes and then 5+. Mm-hmm. And if we make 5+ passes in a possession, we're shooting at a high clip.
And you correlate it back to the shooting percentage.
Yeah,
right?
We do. And even like the 2-4 range is not bad. You know, you're around the 50%.
Right.
You know, 0-1. You know, if you're taking one pass, I mean, making one pass and shooting, you're not getting that defense to shift. And during this stretch of games, you know, these teams are all very talented and they're good, but they're also really good defensive teams.
Yeah.
And you've got five of the top, you know, 50 defensive teams in our conference in the nation here.
Really?
You know?
Wow.
And then, you know, Fresno State on Saturday, they're another good defensive team.
That's right.
So Utah State and San Diego State and Reno and even Boise last night, those are good defensive teams. So you're not going to be able to get it on the first side of the floor, you know.
And it's a proven fact, you know, even with good teams, if the ball is moved from one side to the other, inside out, or even on penetration, somebody's going to be out of position. And all it takes is that one guy to get what you need, you know.
And that's what we want. We want to put teams in rotations so it turns into a 5-on-4, which then turns into a 4-on-3.
Yep.
And we've emphasized getting more post touches as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have a Shakur down there. We don't have a guy that can really go get you 25 on the block. However, we do want to get it in there to keep the defense honest.
That's right.
I think you guys have seen with Joel and Nick, when they get it down there, they make good decisions.
They do.
And teams start coming in, and they're not afraid to kick it out to the weak side or dump it down to Mbake.
And no doubt about it. We've touched on it a couple times. We heard a highlight to start the show, Noah's big three late in the game to give the Rebels that six-point edge and kind of begin to pull away. I don't remember a point guard playing that well for the entire game in UNLV uniform and controlling the game. And then having his stat line reflect it. I mean, 21 points, 10 assists, 0 turnovers.
I've never seen 10 assists, 0 turnovers.
No,
I mean,
no.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people say, well, you know, why don't you see that every night? Well, like you said, when's the last time you saw 10 assists and 0 turnovers? That was a textbook performance by a point guard last night.
And a senior point guard. And he led. You know, we were on the road and we were down and obviously, you know, he was making shots and getting the assists, but he was really vocal. I thought he had a good shoot around that day. He was vocal in the locker room at halftime. He was vocal in our timeouts and our huddles, and that's what a senior point guard does. And, you know, Noah's a winner, and he's won games wherever he's been, and he knows how to win.
Right.
And, you know, I think you saw that last night.
And to get 21 points on 8 shots, 6 of 8, how many people do that? Kobe never did that.
Kobe did not do that.
No, it was as efficient and effective a performance as you're going to see from a point guard. And let's hope it continues, not just for Noah, but it inspires the other guys to put in, you know, not they put in the work, but to apply themselves for 40 minutes in the basketball game.
Well, I think it's contagious. Again, like we talked about earlier, you know, you see Amari. You know, Amari's now, I think, 4-1 since the turnover ratio in conference. And other guys are doing it, and it becomes contagious. And, you know, again, if you just emphasize playing the right way and making the right decision and making the right play, it's, you know, you'll be successful.
You know, another thing I liked last night, too, that Amari did, you know, when we were moving the ball sideline to sideline, then he started just breaking guys down, getting in the lane and making guys help and found the open guy. And I thought that was tremendous for his game, the growth in his game. And then now he's starting to spot up and take the shot as opposed to always going in there. But I see him growing a little bit this year, and especially this time of year, which is a good thing.
You know, we showed clips when we lost those 3 games. We showed the team clips of the good ball movement segments we had. And a lot of them was Noah just, you know, whipping it to Amari ready to catch and shoot. And that really not catching it and messing around with the ball, and
right,
all, but just
right.
catching, be
being
shot ready. Ready
being
you know?
Ready to shoot.
And
right.
he got a couple of those last night. And the one thing Amari does really well that you can't coach is he has the ability to break down the defense.
He does.
But he's really good when that defense is shifted. Okay, now they're in rotations, uh-huh. and now he can bounce them as opposed to just coming down on the first side where they're
right.
all
when they're
locked
set up.
In on one side.
That's right.
You know, I don't care how good you are. It's hard to break them down.
Yeah, he's also beginning to learn, and you know, it's not all there yet. We saw it against Utah State trying to go in, and he's so confident. He knows he can break guys down and get by him.
Right.
But the decision, once you've gotten by the guy, and, you know, you've got the statue of Portugal standing in there for Utah State, and he's trying to shoot it over him, and he
right,
got rejected a
right.
couple times. And it just, you know, that confidence has to be tempered with just basketball common sense and say, okay, I got by this guy, but that all that means is they're moving toward me and I can find an open man.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to take it to the rim.
Yeah, when we talked about that after the Utah State game, we did a pretty good job of driving it and mm-hmm. penetrating, but we didn't have we always say have four available receivers. We,
right.
didn't, have, we didn't have guys sliding to the open spot and,
yeah.
and getting to the drift and getting to the corner and being shot ready. We didn't have that at Utah State.
Yeah, and
I thought we had that last night.
Yeah, we had it last night, but like you said, the Utah State game, I thought the spacing sometimes was,
yep.
was and I don't know if it was because of the floor or whatever, but even though that floor does seem a little smaller
right.
than other arenas. But
well, because the fans are right on top of you.
Yeah, that too, but it was so. I mean, it was very good last night.
Well, we got our hands full on Saturday because
Fresno
was really good defensively as well, and
I know you're a big Bryce Hamilton fan, and you are looking forward to Bryce's growth and progression as he moves through his college career.
Bryce is a great kid, you know, and that kid loves basketball, you know. And if you look at that family, you get a Hamilton kid, you're gonna get a kid that.
I played with one of them.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. It's a big basketball family.
He wasn't a kid.
No.
But, you know, there's something inside of him where he has the ability to make things happen on the offensive end and defensive end. And he's still young for his class.
Yeah.
But he loves the game. He works hard. He's a great kid. He's a good teammate. He's still quiet. Like, coaches always on our guys about being more vocal. But we hope that he'll come out of his shell a little bit more. But like Coach talked about it, as a freshman, you know, you need to get on the floor with your defense and your rebounding and mm-hmm. earn that trust. So when you go in for 3 or 4 minutes, we need to be able to trust you to put you back in
right.
the game. And whatever happens on the offensive end is all gravy.
Because you know he can score. That, I mean,
he has the ability to do things with the basketball.
That's right.
And he can't coach.
So if he can cover that other end.
That's not going to be an issue in his career.
the other one who's like that, of course, is Joel Tomboy.
Yes.
I mean, the things he does on the basketball court, it's so easy. I mean, so easy for him to do it now. There are times he makes it much harder on himself than he needs to, but he'll learn. Are there some specific things that you and the staff are going to work on with him, you know, as he moves into his sophomore season and beyond to help him develop use that easy athleticism and easy skill to become a more effective and efficient player?
You know, for Joel, for any freshman at this level, it's difficult to make that transition and to play at a high level. You know, the speed of the game, the physicality, the attention to detail. And for him, you know, he started off as our quote three-man, our big wing.
Yeah.
And then with the injuries, we slid him down to the four. So now you have a freshman playing two different positions, rather, and he's learning two different positions on offense and two different positions on defense. And he's done a great job of adjusting. And his feel for the game, his basketball IQ is really high.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of freshmen, they try to play too fast. And we always talk about, you know, when the game slows down for a freshman, that's when you kind of see them making progress.
And,
there are times when the game has slowed down for him, but there's times where he gets sped up.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's – but he's done a great job, you know, playing two positions and, you know, adjusting to everything.
Coach, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Great job. Go get some sleep.
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
Eric Brown joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you. Remember that our show is brought to you by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. On the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Boise back out in front. Hardy, a quick three from the left side. Is good! Amari knocks it down, and the Rebels in front by 2, 49-47. First three of the half. part of the Runnin' Rebels' victory last night over Boise. The Broncos, Rebels going to 6-4, and now awaiting Fresno State at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon. John Sandler, Robert Smith, with you along now with head coach Marvin Menzies coming back with us. And coach, just real quickly touching on Noah's performance. Coach Brown said he doesn't remember 10 assists, zero turnover performance from a guard that pops into his head. That's 21 points and doing that. That's pretty darn textbook, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe in New Mexico State I had a kid, Ian Baker, who was 8 or 9. I knew he didn't have 10 because he didn't have a double-double. But, yeah, I can't think of the last time I've had a guard that's done that, actually.
It's really impressive. I'll try to go back and look. I want to talk about something that you brought up yesterday. We were shooting around. We were talking with the TV guys, and they asked you an interesting question. I hadn't heard anybody ask this. Corey Williams asked you about winning the Mountain West Conference and what's involved in that. And I thought your answer was really interesting. You talked about the fact that the Mountain West isn't a conference you're going to win with a bunch of just stud athletes who are young. It's you don't have that. It's not like that. The teams that win the Mountain West Conference, you said, generally have high basketball IQs, which come from experience.
Right.
And I thought that was an interesting point.
Well, you know, if you look back at the Mountain West Conference regular season champions throughout the last, I don't know, 10?
How about 15? Because that's what I researched.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, good. I'm glad you backed me up. Because it just sounded good to me. I wasn't sure if it was accurate. But, no, I just know from my experience, because I was in my early years in 2001. I was an assistant at San Diego State. And I just remember for the 4 years I was there, every year it was a team with juniors and seniors that won it. What did your data back?
So this is, I mean, you talk about probative data. That's right. What this is. Last 15 years, only twice has a team with fewer than 6 upperclassmen won the regular season championship.
Wow.
Only 2 times. And the average is more than 7. So what that means is the regular season champ, on average, is going to have 7 seniors and juniors on that team.
Dang.
That's more than half the roster. And people say, well, what about, do they play, do they not play? It doesn't matter.
Right.
If you have those guys in the locker room, if you have those guys at practice, I mean, they're going to make a contribution.
That's absolutely correct.
And I think it 100% backs up what you say.
Well, and when Corey asked me that, Corey Williams, who's a commentator for last night, used to play at Arizona, and I asked him after, and we were talking, I said, think about it, man, even in the Pac-12, I said, when your teams are really good. Now, there's a few, maybe one or two conferences where, you know, SEC or ACC, where you can have a bunch of young guys and win the deal. But even in Kansas, in their long run, you know, they always had a few seniors on there or a few juniors that were complemented maybe with a superstar freshman. So it's just a proven strategy. I mean, even, well, you look at Reno this year, you know, and let's hope it doesn't hold true, and we go undefeated the rest of the way, and they drop a couple, but you know, let's
they're the oldest. They're the oldest team, not only in Mountain West Conference history. I can't imagine
in
an older
NCAA.
Team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, somebody, what's the stat about they had?
Their starting five is older than anybody in the Phoenix Suns starting five.
I didn't hear that.
How about that?
I didn't hear that. That's pretty old. Maybe I had a – you know, I thought that the kid, Caroline, looked familiar. I think we might have had a class together.
He's a holdover.
Maybe it was Dad Simeon. I don't know. What
he had 40 last night. He's pretty good.
Yeah. He was 6 for 6 from the 3 to start the game.
Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I love that kid. He is such a warrior, man.
He brings energy every day.
And you know what? We've got a lot of mutual respect for each other because, you know, we do the media stuff and the media day, and then he's seen my journey, and he always gives me a lot of love. He comes over and gives me a big hug, and the twins do it as well.
Right.
And, you know, I really like those guys as young men, and they're phenomenal players. But I tell you what, Caroline has always been a something about his toughness.
Yeah,
you got to respect it.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to play against it, but you got to respect it. I mean, that kid is the coach's dream when it comes to effort on the floor.
No doubt. But getting back to what we were talking about, you know, get old, stay old. You've talked about it. It's kind of gotten to be a little bit of a mantra in terms of what you're trying to do to build this program.
Exactly.
But it is 100% borne out by the statistics. I mean, think about it. Right now, the Rebels, juniors and seniors, in terms of healthy ones?
Right.
How about two? That's less than seven last time I checked, right?
Just a tad, tad under. But, you know what, listen, we've sang this song all year long, and we've put the information out there, what we're doing, how we're trying to do it, and now we just have our heads down and we're just working. And that's all there is. There's no shortcuts. There's no substitute for hard work. You just have to put in the work, and there's growing pains involved with that. You know they're coming, but you got to plow through them. The question is, are you learning from them? Are you progressing? Are you getting better? And that's really the measurement that I have as I look at my team. Are we improving? And improving doesn't always mean a win. You know, sometimes you improve and you still don't get the W. But as a team, are we more connected? Are the young guys improving? Are they figuring out how to become sophomores and sophomores, juniors, and so on and so forth? And that, I think I feel comfortable with that. And I feel comfortable, you know, not even just going into next year, but even finishing this year, I feel comfortable about our progress.
We have a question on our Twitter line that's related to that, about the relative importance of the process or the end result. And obviously, and you say it all the time, the end result and the what you want to do is win games.
Mm-hmm.
But there are steps that have to be taken, especially given what you were handed to start your UNLV head coaching career, to get there.
Yeah, well, there's a reason to keep the score, right? I mean, you keep the score to win the game. I mean, we're never going to go into a game saying, well, we're young, you know, we just want to compete tonight. You know, that's not who we are. You know, that's not who, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Menzies raised. I'm not ever going to go into a game conceding victory. We're going to have a scouting report. We're going to have a plan, and we're going to have our guys, you know, ready to roll. And that's, you know, as well as you can, that's what you have to do every single game, right?
Let's take a break. We're going to come back and get into that a little more. Also begin to talk about this weekend's game against Fresno as the Rebels begin a two-game homestand. Okay. Finley Chevrolet, it's your home for Woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Bell. I love you guys. Between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealer. Find new roads. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Outsmart life.
Rebels with the ball and the lead. Nora Botham quickly in the front court. Over to Hardy. Hardy brings it out top. Hardy backs it away, and he'll flip it to Robotham. Under a minute to go, 10 on the shot clock. Noah gets a pick, comes right side. Robotham bounces to Clyburn for the slam dunk!
Everybody was looking for Mbake to cut down the middle, and nice Clyburn went right behind.
Terrific backdoor play, Chris Clyburn on the baseline, and Noah Robotham, his 10th assist of the night against zero turnovers. Rebels get the win against Boise State. All right, we got a lot of things we could talk about.
Yep.
But here's what we're going to talk about on your show, Coach.
Shoot.
We got a couple of real cowpokes with us.
Okay.
You know that? We're sitting here at the Orleans. Mr. Boyd and his buddies
contingency
are here. And it's wonderful to have Mr. Boyd
his
here.
Security.
Thank you. Yes, his posse. But, you know, Mr. Boyd is a huge supporter of Runner Rebel Basketball and UNLV Athletics overall. Also a huge supporter of the NFR, a great event here in town.
Yep.
So we're
going to
talk Cowboys just a little bit, because we go to Boise every year, and there's a gentleman who works at the Thomas and Mack who has a ranch.
Marty,
outside of Boise.
Yeah, one of the ushers.
And Robert and our engineer Chris Hernandez decided to go up there and help them feed the cattle yesterday before the game, because the game was at midnight, and, you know, you got plenty of time. And they survived. Which was good.
We earned our spurs, man. What are you talking about? got spurs
you,
to prove it.
You did it. Actually, Robert, you did a hell of a job. We saw the video feeding the cattle.
That's right.
Tex Mex back here had a little injury on the first go round and wasn't able to handle things. Lefty Hernandez back here, our engineer, tried to get some hay off the truck and hurt himself.
He didn't get through the first B on bale of hay.
No, he did not.
Down goes Frazier.
Now I will say, Robert, on the other hand, I saw the video, you guys, and Robert was throwing, you know, those how the bales are like they're sliced, right? So you get them in the back of the truck and you just kind of peel them off, and it's work. It's hard work. So Robert is up there, and he's just, man. I'm like, that boy, I can see how he was a player back in the day. I said, where's Chris? Oh, he's driving now.
He couldn't drive, hurt his arm. He's sitting in there. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. But you guys had a great time.
Man, I had a ball. I, you know, I'm looking for my cowboy hat and my boots now.
Yeah,
I got the Spurs to go with it.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
I'm not ready for the horse yet, though.
No, that was really cool. The pictures were really, really neat. Fresno State coming to town.
Yep.
And they're really good, and they're really experienced. They got a bunch of seniors, and they play really well at both ends of the floor.
You know, Justin Hudson, who, if you don't know, was one of my
good
guys that I've kind of mentored in the business. And so we have a very long standing relationship, and we talk throughout the year, and he's telling me about how tough it is, and you know, with the wins and the losses, and I said, well, you wanted this, you know, so you got to power through this, and he's doing a great job. He's got some good guys returning, you know, Deshaun Taylor. He's got New Williams now is playing for him, transferred from what is he from Austin? Not Austin. He plays for. Oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
That's all right.
Anyway, it was a big time school in the Power Five. Yeah. So anyway, and then Braxton Huggins, who played for me at New Mexico State, who is a gym rat, has really turned himself into one heck of a player. So their contingency of their guards is high major. And then you have Bittner and Grimes, and they're one of the better teams in conference right now. And actually, I think a win. If we can pull that win out, or when we pull that win out, we'd be in third place, actually.
That would be terrific.
So that would be awesome. So we're looking forward to it. And it's going to be a tough game, but we need some butts in the seats. As I said last night after the game, we need our fans to get in the building, because this will be one of those important games in our stretch and in our quest.
Well, that game is Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and it's going to be a little chilly outside. So come on in, and let's heat things up inside the Thomas & Mack. 2 o'clock with the tip. Robert and I and Steve will have the game for you starting at 1:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. It should be a great game. They're really good, and the Rebels are playing well, and it will be a lot of fun to see that. Our next Marvin Menzies show is next Monday. We will be here on Monday night for the Marvin Menzies radio show at 6 p.m. Hope you plan to join us then. Thank everybody for coming out. Mr. Boyd, as always, thank you for your wonderful hospitality. Thanks to Jared back in our Learfield IMG College studios. Thanks to Tex over here, Robert, Coach Menzies, and Coach Brown. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you Saturday afternoon from the Thomas & Mack. See you out there. Have a good evening,
inside
everybody.
Inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.